Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where Penn State tonight will take on Alabama in basketball beginning at 9 o'clock tonight. We're on beginning at 8:30. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Brewers Outlet specials now through Christmas Eve. Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, $10.88. Landshark 24-pack cans, $17.97. Bud Light Rita's Variety 12-pack bottles, $12.97. Blue Moon 12-pack bottles, $14.95. Labatt 28-pack bottles, $18.95. Look, perfect day today to go and stock up. All right, I'm enjoying the Bahamas Bowl here right now, if you can call it that. But, Brewers Outlet, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills. Without question, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'll tell you a quick one that was funny today. You know, we'd been here for a couple days, so the maid comes in every day here at the hotel and cleans the room. So after doing this show yesterday, I essentially left everything set up here because what was the purpose of packing it all back up and then setting it back up again? It's my room. She comes out of my room after I came back upstairs after watching some tape. And she says, "Are you a coach?" Because I had the Penn State basketball golf shirt on. And I said, "No, I announced the game." So I said, "I'm to Penn State what Eli Gold is to you." She goes, "Oh, you know Eli Gold?" I said, "Yeah." So, well, I looked at all that stuff in there, and I thought, either he's a coach or he's with the FBI. That's what she said.
High-tech gear over here.
She's looking at all this stuff. So I thought maybe with the FBI. I said, "No." I said, "I don't think so."
He said, "Hey, see this button over here? I can contact Russia."
Right. Yeah. I don't think we want to say that out loud.
No. You mentioned the Bahamas a second ago. Feels like the Bahamas here. It is 64 right now in Sunbury.
Wow. That's amazing. That's actually 20 degrees warmer than here. It's 44 here.
Wow.
I'm getting, by the way, the delay just enough, just so you know, Sean.
Okay.
Where I can hear myself speaking about a second later, which means I thought I did the Brewers Outlet commercial really well, considering. Just hit it on the side. That's how it always works.
Yeah.
Portelli doesn't like when we say that.
No.
But, you know, it is what it is. So the Bahamas Bowl, it's Florida International winning right now, 21-17 over Toledo as they go to the fourth quarter. Then the famous Idaho Potato Bowl is coming up later today as well. During shoot around, Dick Girardi and I took a little side trip and went over to Foster Auditorium. Now, Foster Auditorium happens to be where the women's basketball team currently plays, and it used to be the home court for the men's basketball team over 50 years ago. So you're asking, why did we go over to Foster Auditorium, which is in between Bryant-Denny Stadium and Coleman Coliseum? It is a historic landmark. Vivian Malone and James Hood, on June 11, 1963, were denied entrance by Governor George Wallace. President Kennedy had stepped in. He had sent down the National Guard. And Wallace then eventually had to step aside and allow Vivian Malone and James Hood in 55 years ago this year. So that's why we went over there. It was a chance to go over and see a historic landmark, and it's on the campus. But here, on what is would have been Joe Paterno's 92nd birthday today, it is Paul Bryant this and Paul W. Bryant that. You go down Paul W. Bryant Drive by the Paul W. Bryant Museum, by the Paul W. Bryant Hall, by Bryant Denny Stadium. I mean, I always knew it was like that down here, because this is not my first trip here. It's the fifth time I've been to Tuscaloosa to do a game. But you see all of that, and we went into a restaurant last night, a place called Chuck's. And up on the wall, there were 10 huge pictures of Bear Bryant. One of them, the 1981 game, where Bear's leaning up against the goalpost at Penn State. Always a great picture of him. You know, the picture of him up in the tower, picture of him being carried off the field, things like that. Somebody said, Jeff Tarman said, would that have been the Sugar Bowl with Penn State? I said, no, Bryant didn't wear a hat for that game. People forget the great quote when they asked Bryant about, you know, you're not going to wear your hat, your houndstooth hat. He says, no, my mom always said you never wear a hat indoors. And the game was in the Superdome. And they had one picture of Gene Stallings, one picture of Nick Saban. And we sat down to eat. And I said to the other guys at the table, I said, you know what the irony is? I said, all these people in this restaurant, all these pictures of Bryant there, I said, I'm probably the only person in this restaurant that ever talked to him. The Yankee. Remember when I was done interviewing him in 1981, he shook my hand. And Bear was a big man. I was going to say he's like 6'3", 6'3 and a half, something like that. All right? He's a pleasure to meet you, son. Well, I saw that you had a luncheon today.
We did. Wrapped up our 2018 together in the building. Some have some time off next week, and so we always the Friday before Christmas, before the office shuts down for a couple days, we get together, have a little fun. Did that for about an hour and a half during the lunch hour today.
Very nice. And he sent me a picture of the Holly Jolly digital media specialist.
How about that shirt? Oh, man. I said to him, you're going to wear that to the Shikellamy Shimokin game tonight? He goes, I just might.
So Sean tagged it as festive.
Well, I warned you ahead of time. I texted you that before sending the photo. I thought you'd...
So I see the photo.
Yeah.
And my response was quite simple. This reinforces my decision to be in Alabama. All right, so it's that's where we are. Yeah.
By the way, I think he's going to break off a 'Twas the Night Before Christmas poem tonight at the beginning of the Shikellamy Shimokin game, which, by the way, follows the season finale of Talk to Santa Tonight. Final chance we get to fire up the magic radio tonight before Christmas. Here on WKOK at 6. I know.
Right.
Nuts. Seems like it was just opening night a couple days ago.
Wow. That is, it's been an amazing run. And a lot of children are going to get their wishes granted because they sat down at the Magic Radio.
So Sammy at the front desk, her son Ryland, the little Rye guy, he's going to be on tonight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. They were talking about dinosaurs when Ryland was on the show last year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Sammy today, she's wearing this Christmas sweater with a big dinosaur on it. At first, I thought it looked like a Christmas tree, but I thought, oh, wait, that's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
He goes, Mommy, Santa's going to remember we talked about dinosaurs on the show last year.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. A couple of notes for you. Michigan State has been accused of stonewalling in the Larry Nassar case. This is something that, along the way, has not played out well at all for how Michigan State has handled this. And it says here that Michigan State attempted to stonewall an investigation into who at the university made mistakes that allowed Larry Nassar to abuse hundreds of young women, and the school's leaders have been disingenuous in their comments about transparency, according to investigators working with the state's attorney general's office. An update on the investigation from Special Counsel Bill Forsyth this morning said Michigan State had issued misleading public statements, drowned investigators in irrelevant documents, and waged needless battles over pertinent documents. Among other actions, they say made it difficult for investigators to determine exactly who knew what about Nassar's serial abuse and what they did know about. Interesting. Forsyth said, at some point in time, just admit you screwed up here and take whatever steps you need to rectify it. Forsyth said that he has ended his involvement with the investigation, but that does not mean the investigation has concluded. Other members of the Attorney General's office staff have roughly 15,000 documents left to review and are still fighting battles in court to force Michigan State to turn over additional documents. This does run counter to interim Michigan State President John Engler's assertion that the university, at the university's board meeting last Friday, that the investigation had run its course. Evidently, it is not. We will come back with more from Tuscaloosa in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Chief will be doing Shikellamy basketball tonight. How about that? Anything else I need to know about that? No?
Chief solo tonight?
Well, we have notes from several people around the area that are hoping so.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll be on with Kevin tonight. Now, who does Shikellamy have tonight?
They will have Shimokin tonight.
Shimokin tonight.
Yes.
Is that game at the Lockoff Gym, or is it on the road?
It is home tonight, yes.
Very nice.
Yep, and then they'll be off until the 28th. Next up for Shikellamy, then it'll be a trip to Central Columbia. Hey, okay. Suits old stomping grounds.
The home of the banner?
Yeah.
298.
Should still be up there.
LeBron James, by the way, publicly endorsing the pursuit of a trade for Anthony Davis. Well, several small market GMs are not exactly enamored with this. Adrian Wojnarowski talked with several GMs, and they reached out to New Orleans Pelicans GM Dell Demps, and they expressed their dismay over what they perceive as the NBA's tacit endorsement of James' comments, calling the possibility of Davis's arrival as amazing and incredible. They say to them it's tampering. The NBA bylaws governing players state any player who directly or indirectly entices, induces, persuades, or attempts to entice, induce, or persuade any player, coach, trainer, GM, or any other person who's under contract to any other member of the association to enter into negotiations for or relating to his services shall, on being charged with such tampering, should be given an opportunity to answer such charges due to notice, and the commissioner shall have the power to decide whether or not the charges have been sustained. To which Adam Silver will say, LeBron said that? All right, that'll be a $500 fine. All right, thank you. What? Everybody else will be suspended, whatever. That's LeBron. It's a $500 fine. But there you go. Jason Kendall, the former Pirates catcher, will be the speaker at the Penn State Baseball First Pitch Dinner on Friday, February 1st. We're going to have him on the show in the next half hour. And picks in the final half hour. Picks in the final half hour. So that's what we have coming up. This, by the way, is also an anniversary date. The transformation of basketball from past to present. Dr. James Naismith first invented basketball. The rules of the game were different. Well, this is the date that they changed that back in 1891. December 21st, 1891. How about that? It's a little anniversary here for hoops. The rules that you'll see the suit broadcast to tonight, very close to what they came up with on this date in 1891.
Minus the peach baskets.
I didn't say they were all gone.
That's true. There could be a few places alongside some barns out in Indiana to continue the peach basket tradition.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Zion Williamson, a good night last night. And Duke won. They rallied to beat Texas Tech. It's interesting, though, how you cannot get away from perceptions. I watched the Buffalo-Syracuse game the other night. And the almost the entire broadcast was about Syracuse this, Syracuse that. This is what Syracuse needs to come back. And I'm watching the game, and Buffalo's ranked 14th in the country. And Buffalo was down by 5 and then went on a big-time run and took control of the game. And every once in a while, I'll say, well, Buffalo's got 5 seniors. Now, how many times have you heard me talk about that when you do this job, you can't anticipate the outcome? All right? Can't do that. Just do the game. And that was interesting to watch the other night. I mean, I don't think they could comprehend how good Buffalo is. They're really good. Toledo just scored. It's now 28-23, Florida International with 7:21 left, and now the Rockets are going for 2.
You are the lone wolf today, by the way. Only one that picked FIU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I hope Toledo fails on this 2-point conversion. Back to pass. He throws. Oh, that dirty dog caught in the back of the end zone for 2. It's a 3-point game. Come on, Florida International. Show me how to close. Come on, baby. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Daddy needs to get back to 500.
Daddy doesn't care. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and the Sunbury Motor Studio Mobile in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Close to Nick Saban's house, we think. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team following Shikellamy Shamokin. We have a great lineup tonight. After the show's over, then we'll have news. And then from 6 to 7, our final visit with Santa and the Magic Radio tonight. Then Kevo and the Chief will be at the Phil Lockoff Gym for Shamokin and Shikellamy basketball. And then it's Penn State basketball tonight with Alabama at Coleman Coliseum just down the street from Bryant-Denny Stadium. And that will be tonight. They'll join us in progress, obviously. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, here are the specials now through Christmas Eve. This is the time you have to stock up. It's the holiday season. You need to stock up. People are going to stop over. You may be going someplace. You don't want to go empty-handed. Okay? So Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, $10.88. Landshark 24-pack cans, $17.97. Bud Light Rita's Variety 12-pack bottles, $12.97. Blue Moon 12-pack bottles, $14.95. Labatt 28-pack bottles, $18.95. I don't care whether it's imports, domestics, or microbrews, Brewers Outlet has the best selection of beer anywhere. Now, There are a lot of people, though, around that say, hey, look, I prefer wine coolers. They've got that. Water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in that pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, is indeed second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills every time. It's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Well, I tell you, would that cap the year and really get 2019 going with a brand new beautiful car from Sunbury Motors? Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Coming up, look, what's the temperature? 64 degrees there right now?
Unbelievable here in the valley on the first day of winter.
Right. And it makes you think of baseball when it's 64 degrees, when it's that nice. You think about baseball. Jason Kendall had a marvelous career in the majors. The son of Fred Kendall, former San Diego Padres catcher, was a first-round pick of the Pirates. He's a guy who was in the All-Star game three times, spent the vast majority of his career with the Pirates. He's going to come in from Kansas City to be the guest speaker at the first pitch dinner for Penn State baseball on February 1st. And with that, we welcome Jason Kendall to our show.
Steve, thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Jason, you had quite a road along the way. You're a guy that was a first-round pick, and, of course, you went to the Pirates, and that's where the fans around here are going to know you. But still, what were some of the ups and downs just to a position where you could be a first-round pick?
You know what? I was very fortunate in having a father who played in the big leagues for 12 years and right. also coached after that in the big leagues as well. So I already had an advantage, and I really, truly believe that if you ask anybody – whose father played in the big leagues, it is definitely an advantage from the way you act, the way you act in the clubhouse, the just you are brought up in that. Just your concentration on the little things in baseball. So I had an advantage, and that's all I ever wanted to do was play baseball. And my dad wasn't one of those guys that's like, do this, do that. He was just, hey, you ever want to pick my brain? Pick my brain. And, you know, those guys played in an era when I don't want to say when it was a game, but I mean when it was, you know, they weren't making as much money, obviously, as there are today. But to answer your question, yes, I was very fortunate to have a father that played in the big leagues, and I had an advantage. But that's all I wanted to do, and you know what? I loved doing it.
And this is where let's take a football example for a moment from baseball. Pat Mahomes, obviously, his son is having a great year with the Kansas City Chiefs. No getting around it. But everyone will trace it back to his dad who pitched in the majors for 13 or 14 years because Patrick Mahomes grew up around that, and they say he carries himself as if he had grown up around it. Did you find that you carried yourself and understood things that maybe a couple of other guys didn't?
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's a funny story is I'm assuming it was his son. I can't remember, but it was in 2003. Pat was with us for 3-4 months, maybe. I believe it was 2003. And I remember this little baby coming in. And now I live in Kansas, and now he's going to be probably the MVP of the NFL. And but you know what? It, like I said, it helps. It helps the way you handle yourself. And like I said, I'm in Kansas, and I watch his interviews after the games or whether it be nationally. And he speaks very well. He knows how to conduct himself, and that is without a doubt in a clubhouse.
When you're around it every day, like you were with your dad, and growing up with it, you see how to handle. There are two tests of character. How do you handle things when you're down and out? But also, how do you handle things when things are going great for you? Are you the same person no matter what? Is that one of the lessons that your dad taught you, being around that kind of atmosphere, as to how to handle success and failure?
Without a doubt, and obviously you can ask anybody that is a baseball fan. And when you talk about the chance of failure, I mean, it goes back to if you get 3 hits out of 10, you're an all-star, but you're failing 7 times.
Right.
And so, I mean, you can't get your highs too high and your lows too low. And it's a very, very humbling game. I always say that there's two types of people that are that play this game, the ones who have been humbled and the ones who have not been humbled.
Right.
It will humble you till no end. And just a matter of, okay, that day's over with. You got to get in the next one. Whether you're 0 for 5, 5 strikeouts, 5 for 5, it's over. And once again, that being said, is it took me a couple years in the big leagues to figure that out, figure out what my dad was saying. I mean, he always, you know, put it in my head, but it was also one of those things where it's tough, and you have to figure that out on your own. But once I figured that out, it was a lot easier to handle, put it that way.
There's also the business part of it. And along the way, you know, you started out your Pirates career, did really well. You made the All-Star game three times along the way. But then there's stops in Oakland, the Cubs, Milwaukee City, the business part of it. How much did it take for you to separate the business part of it from the love of the game part of it?
It's still difficult for me to do, because I did, going back to my father, watched him come home in the off season and work three construction jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, more as a coach than in the big leagues than he did as a player. So I still struggle, but I'm also not dumb. I might be stupid, but I'm not dumb. If somebody's going to offer me that money, I'm not going to say no. So one of the things that I do now is I help these kids. Like, hey, guys, you're not owed the world here. This will humble you, like I said before, and you go out, you respect your city, you respect your last name, you respect, and you just, and you do things, and some kids now don't understand that, and that's one of the things I do today, but I still haven't gotten a grasp on the whole money thing, but you know what? If they're going to offer you, go ahead and take it, but I also know the other side of it as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, your dad spent the vast majority of his career with San Diego. I think I want to say he had brief stops with the Indians and the Red Sox at one point. But mostly it's San Diego. And, of course, you know, what did he teach you behind the plate? I mean, what did he teach you that you every single day you were able to apply behind the plate?
I think more than anything, just the mental part of it. And when I say mental part of it is your first priority is to get the starting pitcher is through as many innings as possible until your pen comes in, if they're coming. And being able to split your offense and defense up, that was probably one of the best things he ever, you have to split these two up, because your first priority is behind the plate and getting this pitcher through however many as possible. So I think that part more than anything, but just when the era that he played in, they played hard. They, not to say that the guys today don't play hard, but you know, you got guys, you know, grounding out and walking. Well, people are up in the stands watching you, and there's kids up there that might be your. I mean, I can go back to Machado in the World Series, and he's going to get paid till no end, and you know, dogging it here, dogging it there. And I think one of the things that's missing now is that veteran leadership in the dugout. Like, hey, that's not how we do things here, and. It's really that simple, and it stops. But you just got to know that this is a game. You're getting paid a lot of money, and you don't ever want to disrespect the city you play for, disrespect, because you know what? People are paying for a ticket to come and watch play. So there's no reason to dog and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be something that we'll find out how much money he gets. I know he's visiting the Phillies today. But that's something, you're watching the World Series. I mean, that's the biggest playing moment of your life, to play in the World Series, and you still jog as if it's May?
You're under the microscope, and it actually really it's amazing to me that, you know, whatever network or radio show you listen to, yeah, they talk about it a little bit. I would love to do something like that, and I would, in a politically correct way, kind of like I'm doing with you right now. It's not okay, and you know, I know Dave Roberts, but I mean, Dave Roberts should have done the same thing that he did with the first baseman, center fielder. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. The same thing he did with Kepinger?
Was it Bellinger? Cody Bellinger.
I'm sorry. Yes, Bellinger.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger.
In June, and then he sees Machado. He should have done the same thing right then and there. But, you know, there's certain things you do, certain things you don't do. I'm not saying if you ground out the pitcher to, you know, 100%, down to first base, but there's little things that you embarrass yourself, and what comes along with embarrassing yourself is you embarrass your teammates, the city you play for, your manager, but those are things that you can stop real quick if they happen.
There's no question. When you talk to the Penn State players and the audience that'll be there that night, what will be some of the themes that you want to hit on that you think will be important to their development as young men?
You know, that's such a great question, and I do some of these speaking engagements. I do quite a bit, but more so just to enjoy it, because I played 16 years in the big leagues, or 15 years in the big leagues, and I don't remember it. I mean, I remember it, but I mean, it goes by so quick. And, you know, the parents are right saying, hey, you know, enjoy this stuff, whether you have kids, whatever you're doing. It goes by quick. It's unbelievable. It's at Christmas right now, but that's one of the things that I'm enjoy it, do things the right way. And, you know, but at the same time, try to have fun. I wish I had more fun playing. I had a blast, don't get me wrong, but, and I probably, if I did have more fun, I probably wouldn't have stayed around the big leagues that long, but I wish I would have talked, because that's just the type of player I was. You know, I wish I'd have smiled, laughed and a little more, but I was so locked in on what I had to do that night for the 3 hours that I was playing to do any and everything to help the team win.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up, was what kept you from... I mean, look, we're always living in the moment, all right? You and I are doing this right now. I want, you know... obviously, I watched you play all the time, but at the same time, you have to do more work to prepare for an interview when you're talking to somebody, to make sure you're asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. So you and I are doing this in the moment right now. Is that what keeps you sometimes from enjoying the overall experience when you're just so much in the moment?
I think what happened with me is I got so – I didn't want to wake up at 2 in the morning and say, you know, you should have thrown him a slider. And as soon as all the computer stuff came around, you click a mouse and your information you need. It's one thing today. If catchers – that's what everybody talks about, these games being so long. It's not the how many pitches the pin guy throws. It's not – it's the catcher and pitcher not being on the same page. Bottom line, and you can sit there and watch the pitcher shake, and there's no excuse for that, because there's so much information, and all you have to do is take the little mouse, click the button, and when I first started, not that I'm old, but it was VHS tape, VCR tape. I don't even know if they make those machines anymore. I don't think they do either, but that's how you started. But now everything is right there. So if a catcher and a pitcher are not on the same page, that's where the shaking, that's where all this stuff, and I still really, truly believe in my last 5 years I did this, is when the catcher's looking over in the dugout to the manager as far as calling the running game, that's what they're doing. They're not looking for what pitch to call. They're looking to,
right,
for, you know, for fans, but they're looking to, you know, do I throw over, do I slice it? A catcher should be able, at this level, be able to run his own game. Now, he has to prove that to the manager.
Right.
But that being said, that's why these games are so long. I mean, but with all this information that's out there, with all your advanced scouts, with all your scouting reports, and you don't have to overload your brain with it. You just have to do who's hot, who's not. I mean, it's really, really simple.
Right.
And that's probably why I didn't have as much fun, because I was so locked in. As soon as that last out was made, whatever game, to the next night, whether it be a different club coming in, who's hot, who's not, what did this guy face, what did this guy do against this guy, whoever our starter is tomorrow, or a pink. And my mind just worked that way. So that's probably why I did that.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, besides Penn State football and basketball, I also, you know, State College Spikes minor league club there with the Cardinals organization. They have the catchers call their own game. The only time they look over is exactly what you're talking about. The only time they look over is if there's a runner on. So, do you want me to pitch out? Do you want me to throw down? Do you want him to throw over? That's the only time they look over. They let the catchers call their own game, and I think that's invaluable.
I am running my Little League teams right now, just like, or I have been. Even today, that's the worst thing that you could do as a coach, from Little League on up, is. And I see it all the time, especially at the college level now. But I'm actually in Little League. It's the worst thing you can do, because you don't learn. I was with the Oakland A's. Kurt Suzuki came up. I was on my way out to another team, and I was his mentor. And he came into the locker room one day. We had a 7 o'clock game. He came in like at noon, and he goes, "Hey, can you help me how to do this? How to call a game? And I go, "What?" I said, "Didn't you do that in college?" He goes, "I never called my game at all." If you look at one of the main reasons why the Braves went to the postseason last year, I'll guarantee you it's because of Kurt Suzuki and him having the pitching staff in the palm of his hands, but they don't know it. So for any parents, Little League, high school, on and on, that are listening right now, man, let the kids call the game. Every once in a while, okay, you can say, hey, you know, throw a curveball sign or whatever it may be. But these kids, their own game, because that's the only way you're going to learn. And Kirk Suzuki now in the league, he's with the Nationals now, he's been in the league for a long, long time. And it's because of that. But he had no idea how to call a game when he was with me in Oakland in, I believe, 2007.
Yeah. He ended up making the All-Star team with the Twins eventually down the road. Heck of a professional catcher. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a pro's pro. So are you. Everyone's looking forward to having you here for the First Pitch Dinner. And I greatly appreciate the time that you gave us today. I really just enjoyed the conversation. Probably could have gone on for another hour.
Absolutely. I could once I get going, I can't stop. But Steve, I appreciate you having me, and thanks so much. And hopefully I get to see you out there February 1st.
I'm looking forward to it, Jason. Thank you for your time very much, and thanks for committing to doing this, because I know it means a lot to the people here.
Well, you know what? It means a lot to me too, Steve, and I know that it means a lot to Coach Cooper, and he's a heck of a guy, and hopefully, and I said this, I think, a while ago, I go, you know what, I live in Kansas now. Omaha is only 3 hours from me, so I'm expecting to see these boys here down the road in summer. Later on.
So, that sounds great. Jason, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Well,
Jason Kendall, what, 15, 16 years in the majors, most of it with the Pittsburgh Pirates, where he's a three-time All-Star. He will be the speaker at the First Pitch Dinner February 1st here in State College. Invaluable advice. Well, Florida International went for it on fourth down and converted. Clock rolling, 2 minutes to go. They're at the 8-yard line and winning. Who picked that game? We'll come back with more in a moment. It'll be the only one to win. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
It's holiday time, and there's only one place you need to go. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Sunbury. Brewers Outlet has all of your holiday party needs. Soda, snacks, lottery tickets, the pickle bar, and of course, beer. The area's largest selection of imports, specialties, microbrews, and many of your favorite domestics. This week's specials, Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, just $10.88. That's $3.63 a six-pack. And Labatt 28-pack bottles, $18.95. And the ultimate holiday present, a Brewers Outlet gift card. Merry Christmas from Brewers Outlet, Sunbury.
Nothing like a Charlie Brown Christmas, where Charlie Brown goes out and picks the worst tree in the lot. After it's put down and everyone makes fun of it, and Chuck walks off the set in tears, or almost in tears, they look at it and they say, it's really not a bad tree after all. And all of a sudden they take all the decorations off of Snoopy's doghouse. And then suddenly they transform it into a blue spruce.
You know, there's one point in a Charlie Brown Christmas, and I just learned this about a week ago, and I've been watching that ever since I was a kid, when Linus is on stage and he reads a little bit of Luke 2.
Right.
Okay. And then when he gets to the main crux of the story, he's not holding his blanket. That's the one and only time I've ever seen a Peanuts cartoon where he's not holding his blanket.
Wow.
Because he's so confident and thankful and grateful for that wonderful gift. And that's the one time he's not holding his blanket for security.
Wow.
Yeah. Notice that. Check that out next time you watch the cartoon.
When I was a kid in a play, actually, that's the part I had. I think it was like in third or fourth grade, I had to do that. Like, hand it over, let's go.
I think it was third grade for me, for our Christmas program. I was the little drummer boy. And my grandfather had a music shop in downtown Lock Haven. And the teacher, you're like, okay, yeah, we know where we can get the drum. You might as well drum. So, okay. Stumbled on that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. All right. Well, open line next half hour. And then the king with our picks.
Looking forward to that. Now, next week, we're going to be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll be back on Thursday.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.